The president talks jobs and tells Congress to do its job and get Americans back to work.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama this morning said his near $500 billion jobs bill will help grow the economy and create nearly 2 million jobs. And the president took an aggressive tone against Republicans who are blocking his plan and ridiculing other reforms he's made.
You've got Republican presidential candidates whose main economic policy proposals is we'll get rid of the financial reforms that are designed to prevent the abuses that got us into this mess in the first place. That does not make sense to the American people. They are frustrated by it.
The president also said Wall Street protests going on in New York and other cities reflect anger about abuses in the financial system. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is spending much of today before Congress presenting to both chambers the first report of a council looking at the level of risk in our financial system. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Congress created the Financial Stability Oversight Council to help prevent another crippling financial crisis. Its first report to Congress comes as a debt crisis looms in Europe. James Barth is a fellow at the Milken Institute. He says the council is surely watching Europe closely.
But I don't think the Financial Stability Council can do much other than be absolutely certain our banks are not overexposed to other European banks.
Barth says they don't appear to be, and if a big U.S. bank or insurer were to get into trouble, he says regulators now have tools to contain the problem. John Lichty directs the Center for the Study of Global Financial Stability at Penn State. He says it's too soon to say how effective the council will be.
It's only been a year, and it takes, a long time to put the kind of safeguards we'd like to see in place.
Like so-called living wills. Big banks will soon need plans in place to wind down their business if they get into serious trouble. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now by an average of about 1%. The Dow is up 94 points, about 0.9% at 11,034. Many of the nation's retailers are reporting strong revenues for September, helped by big back-to-school sales. And slightly more people filed for weekly unemployment benefits last week. Well, every Alaska resident will be getting a check this week for $1,174 for simply living in the state. It is called the Permanent Fund Dividend, or the PFD. The yearly payout was established back in the 1980s as a way for Alaskans to share in the state's oil wealth. And every year around this time, the PFD injects a lot of cash into the state economy. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, Annie Feit reports.
The ads start popping up in local papers in late September. Make your dividend check go further at Petco. Here's one from Alaska Airlines. The PFD checks are in, a perfect time to check out. Car dealers and furniture stores tend to run the biggest promotions. Buddy Bailey is with Bailey's Furniture in Anchorage. He says the store sees a huge jump in sales every October.
A pretty realistic number is probably around the 20% to 25%, and I'll bet you that's pretty uniform across most of the industries in Alaska for retail, for sure.
Bailey says PFD time is better for retailers than the holiday shopping season, but State of Alaska economist Neil Fried says the economic impact of the PFD has become muted over time.
My guess is that we treat it more and more like, you know, regular income. We expect it to come. I don't think we treat it as much as like a windfall that we might have in the earlier years.
Fried has collected every permanent fund dividend since it was first handed out 30 years ago. He says he's stingy and most have gone straight to his savings account. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
People around the globe are paying tribute to Apple CEO Steve Jobs, who died yesterday. News of Jobs' death has people reflecting on his contributions, one of whom is filmmaker Jonathan Coet, who says he could never have made his documentary Tarnation without technology Jobs helped to create. Coet is with us this morning from New York. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. Would you have been able to edit your movie without the software iMovie?
I most certainly would not have been able to edit my film without the software of iMovie back in late 2003. I would still be cutting probably from VHS to VHS. I actually don't know where I would be at this point.
Are you serious? VHS to VHS?
I filmmaking back a long time ago, I mean, being like what, even in the year 2000 when I started really contemplating taking everything that I had done, which was essentially shot on VHS and other kind of idiosyncratic formats like Super 8 film and other kinds of things that I used to create my first film, Tarnation. The idea of pastiching those materials together in a cohesive way that I had sort of always wanted to do it in my mind's eye never could have come into fruition if it weren't for the onset of iMovie.
To be sure now, Jonathan, there are other pieces of software, right, that where you can make a movie. I mean, I know that it's easy to sort of get into the flow. Well, you know, Apple this and Apple that. I mean, but there are other ways. But how did Steve Jobs personally, do you think, affect how movie making is going?
The products he delivered, everything he designed, his whole bedside manner, the way he would talk about what it was that he had conjured up was so unintimidating. You know, it was just this very comprehensive approach and very user-friendly, I think, compared to almost anything out there. I actually loved the original iMovie 1 so much. It was one of the coolest things ever. I think I'm really interested in rewinding and going back to an older format and editing it on Apple's iMovie 1 once again, just to do it.
Well, Jonathan Coet, filmmaker over in New York. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And a reminder, there's more about the life and the products of Steve Jobs at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM. That's American Public Media.
On Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, it's tough times getting by for a lot of writers, but not all of them.
I had several friends, computer science majors in particular, they were getting offered $35 an hour as summer interns before they even have their bachelor's degree.
I'm Tess Vigeland, riding the bus, talking the economy, next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.